We want to build this plant in South Dakota. We started looking at this site in Lake Preston, South Dakota, prior to COVID. And we identified it because it has good rail transportation, good corn, good production, good farmers, and they do sustainable agricultural practices. They're really good. And so we committed to building that. We designed the plant. We spent $200 million developing that site, developing the engineering, the technology. It's extremely well developed. We have a loan guarantee from the Department of Energy that's promised of $1.63 billion on this thing to have it fully built. It's an ethanol plant plus a jet fuel plant. And but it needs sequestration. So one of the prerequisites that we had in this was that we had to be able to show that we can get sequestration. Well, this pipeline issue is a big deal issue. It's a big deal issue, and it hurts the returns by not having a pipeline. It costs more if we want to rail it or something. But by us buying this plant up at Red Trail, that solved the problem for the DOE, because they say, okay, then I see that you have a viable route to sequester carbon, because you can take it to your own site. It's under your control, and you'll do the standard method other people do of just railing the CO2.
So you're doing the sequestration in North Dakota.
We do the North Dakota sequestration because North Dakota is set up for it. The wells work. It's well proven. It's environmentally friendly, or it's a business environmentally friendly thing. It's a business friendly environment here. And so what is fascinating then is the pipeline. We never would have expected that this would be such a big deal item. Now, the problem is,
what do you mean by big deal item? Just so controversial?
Oh, my. The pipeline in South Dakota is like, it's in the, I would never believe what I'm hearing almost. People are like wanting to shoot their feet off because it's a, do you understand that this helps farmers? This helps your economy. A project like ours, I have to go convince people from Wall Street to invest in South Dakota. How can I do that in a place that changes the rules of the game after we've started and spent money? How can we do that? How do I do that? And so I'm sitting here going, can I get her done? All right, we're champions and we can go get stuff done. But by gosh, this is getting to be a pain. And so this is a problem. And how can we solve it? What would you do if you're an investor? You can imagine this. We're going to be in this position. Wall Street's going to go, hey, that project pays back pretty good. Wow, you could do it in South Dakota, or you got a site in North Dakota that works just, it's already, you got an ethanol plant, and you got a CCS site. You don't have to mess around with the pipeline. And Wall Street's going to go, let's see, where could we make more money? Okay, would it change timelines a little bit? Sure. It still gets the plant built. And of course, my mission is to get a plant built. What I'm really truly after is a financeable model that gets plants built so we can build multiple plants. We already abandoned another site in South Dakota because of this pipeline issue. We had a second site. We abandoned it and walked away. We're like, we're done. We let the leases go because I can't deal with this. This is a problem. Nebraska is, I mean, they're knocking on the door. Come on down here. We got the Tallgrass pipeline. We got a site. Let's go. Awesome. And here, what a favorable environment. And so I don't... When this Lake Preston plant, let's put it in perspective, $2.5 billion investment. It creates 100 direct jobs, 700 indirect jobs, according to, we had an economic analysis done by Charles River. $110 million returned annually to the region. Annually.
To Lake Preston, South Dakota.
To Lake Preston.
Not a metropolitan area.
Yeah, think about that. In those counties right there, $110 million a year, 1,000-plus jobs for 3 years during construction. This is life-changing for the center part. And it provides markets that are, we need 230-plus farmers to supply, and we are going to pay a premium for farming. That ensures the livelihood of those farms, for goodness sake. We need those guys. They're the raw material suppliers. So I think this bigger picture is being lost of what we're doing here.
Are you seriously considering moving that project to North Dakota?
The DOE would have to permit it. And so, you know, I think there's enough stroke up here. I don't know.
But we don't want to.
You know what I want to do? Yeah, I want to do two plants. So I want the one in South Dakota. I want to do a one up here in North Dakota. I want to change the model of how we do things. So the one here in North Dakota, we're going to go towards how we should be doing this. You know, in South Dakota, it's a $2.5 billion project. It's project financed, okay? And the project financing just adds a ton of cost because you need an EPC contractor, and they stack in all kinds of extra costs, and then you got to do project financing. They put in prepayments, and they de-risked it financially up the wazoo. And they all go, hey, but look, for $2.5 billion, it's still a 15% IRR, which actually is a good investment. That actually is a good investment.
But it could be much better.
Well, Yeah, and we could do it for smaller doses of capital.
Yeah.
And so how do we do that? And that's what we want to go play that game up here in North Dakota. And we've seen a lot of interest in it, and we want to get that SAF plant built up in Richardton at the Red Trail site.
I don't want to give up on South Dakota because I think given the ethanol pioneers there as well, there's enormous opportunity for them as well. And aligning North Dakota and South Dakota's energy future, I think, would be fantastic.
I agree.
Just talk about what South Dakota is risking here, especially when it comes to their corn farmers playing in sustainable aviation fuel.
They're going to be bypassed. And so what will happen is there will be a few of them are on the northern side or friends of ours that we can do unit trains from them. But you're not going to see it develop widely. And what will happen is that, remember the benefit. The market is about carbon abatement. Ethanol markets in the future are about carbon abatement. It isn't just about just dumping the fuel. It's going to be about the carbon abatement that comes with it. That's where CCS comes in. If there's no CCS for those plants in South Dakota, guess what? They're economically disadvantaged compared to everybody else. You lose business. They eventually go away over time.
That's why you need the pipeline.
That's why you need the pipeline. And then you lose the markets from the ethanol plants. You lose the farms. That's a problem.
Do you think this is going to change? What is it going to take to change the argument here and reduce this opposition?
Well, I think it's a right now, I do not know. I know that it's like this fever pitched upset people, and it's not it's beyond the rational stage. So what it takes then is level heads, thinking about the long term future of South Dakota and what's best to grow South Dakota and for its economy and for its people in the long run, all things considered. And taking into consideration land rights and all the rest. It can be done. They just need to get level heads about it and get on with it. But what will happen is that these moments of investment are big deals. And
what do you mean by that?
I mean,
it's a short window, don't you?
Because that's my point. We got a short window. So decisions are going to get made. And so as those decisions fall, how's this going to play out? South Dakota bypassed or not? I don't know. Those are going to be interesting questions to answer. I do know this. I read President Trump's executive order about unleashing American energy. It talks a lot about infrastructure and fixing infrastructure. CO2 sequestration is part of it. It's important we're going to have that in this country. It's going to happen. That's a fact, and people can't get their heads around it. But pay attention to actually if we're going to unleash American energy, it's going to require infrastructure of all types.
You talked with the kids today a lot about sort of the genesis of Earth Day and kind of the whole conversation that happens about the environment and sustainability. Do we need to reframe this debate and talk about it differently?
I think so. What happens is that right now it triggers too many of, oh, that CO2 stuff, that's a bunch of BS. I'm like, no. No, stick with this. If I can deliver to you a product that's cost effective, I got a gallon. You can't tell the difference of the gallon I give to you, but one of them has a zero carbon footprint and one doesn't. Does that mean anything to you or not? What would you choose? Would you choose it in preference, which is a share shift, or would you pay up a slight premium for it? I think people pay a slight premium for it if they knew for certainty that they got something for their money. And this is the principle we work under. And so it's not one or the other. And so this is the point about sustainability. It's not about sustainable products all suck. That's not the game.